Judy, the young bride-to-be, was crying. Her best friend Sarah asked, "What's wrong, Judy?" Judy was crying, she said, because she was unsure of her upcoming wedding. Her husband-to-be lived in another country far away. But Sarah said to Judy, "He writes you a letter every day. In those letters, I'm sure he writes about himself and your future life together, doesn't he?" Judy paused and looked at Sarah and said, "I just haven't had the time to read them." You'd think it's silly that a future bride-to-be would not take the time to read her future husband's letters. But let me ask you a question. Do you and I take the time to read our future fiancé's letters to us? How much time do you spend reading the Bible? Today we're going to look at the reasons why we should be reading the Bible, or reading the letters that our future fiancé has written to us. Point number one, reading the Bible helps you to know the person you will be married to. As we all know, there's a marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to be married to Christ. And the Bible is his letters to us. Let's go to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. And in verse 7. It says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." The Lamb, obviously, is Christ. The bride is the church. So Jesus Christ is to marry the church in the future. And the Bible reveals the following about our future spouse. Not everything, but some things that it reveals include the following. Events about his birth, his genealogy, tells us about his parents, his childhood, his relatives. Wouldn't you want to know that about your future husband or wife? It gives us information about his occupation, his morals, kind of beliefs he has, events surrounding his death, the organization he founded, and what the disciples did, what he taught about death, about life, about marriage, child rearing, society, work, homelessness, adultery, money, human relations, self-defense, taxes, government, poverty, and wealth. Those are some of the things that we can learn about when we read the Bible. We can learn what Jesus Christ's attitude is about all those things. So reading the Bible helps us to know the person we're going to be married to. Just like if you were getting letters from your fiancé that lived far away, I'm sure in the letters he or she would tell you about their childhood, about what their parents were like, about what they believed, how many children we're going to have, if we're going to have any, where I want to live, what I'd like to do, etc., etc. Second point, reading the Bible grounds you in God's truth. You can avoid a lot of heresy. Well, I'm not a lot. You can avoid all heresy and false teachings if you know God's word. Let's go to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22. Matthew 22, we're going to read, beginning to read in verse 23. Now, you had the Sadducees who believed in the resurrection, did not believe in the resurrection. And you had the Pharisees who believed in the resurrection. So you have this group of religious leaders that doesn't believe in the resurrection. And then you have this other group of religious leaders, the Pharisees, that believe there's a resurrection. So the Sadducees had a question. They loved to ask the Pharisees, because the Sadducees, being non-resurrection believers, would ask this question to the Pharisees who believed in the resurrection. What was the question? Verse 23. The same day, the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and asked him, saying, "Teacher," now they asked this question to the Pharisees all the time. The Pharisees couldn't answer the question. So they said, "Let's try this question on Christ. Let's see what Christ has to say." We stumped the Pharisees with this question all the time. Verse 24, saying, "Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offsprings for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers. The first died after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother." So you got seven brothers, and the wife married the first one, he dies, she marries the second one, he dies, so forth and so on. 26, "Likewise the second and also the third, even to the seventh," verse 27, "last of all the woman died also." Verse 28, "Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven would she be? For they all had her to wife." Whoa. Now you can see what would happen if Jesus, if the Sadducees, you can see what would happen when the Sadducees asked the Pharisees these questions. The Pharisees probably said, "Hold on, time out. We're going over here and we're going to huddle and we're going to talk about this among themselves." So they would, and they would come back and they would say, "The question about the resurrection and the maritability of the wife is too difficult to answer at this point in time with the facts we've been given in the Bible," or something like that. Jesus wasn't like that. Notice what Jesus said. Verse 28, "Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her." Jesus answered and said to them, "You're mistaken. You don't know the scriptures, nor the power of God." They didn't understand the scriptures. Knowing the scriptures will tell you what the answer is to this enigma, supposedly. Verse 30, "For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but they are like the angels of God in heaven. But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to you by God?" And notice what he said. He said to these scribes and Pharisees who would copy the Bible stroke by tittle by stroke, spending hours copying the Bible and reading it and counting how many verses there were in a chapter and how many words there were in a chapter and how many letters there were in a sentence and making sure that the fronts and the backs and all the letters agreed with each other so there wasn't an extra character inserted. He told them, "Have you not read?" That was an insult, brethren, for him to tell them, "Haven't you read?" All they did all day long was read. And the point is, they should have known the scriptures. And here's my point. If you know the scriptures, the letters that your fiancé has written to you, you can know the answer to many, many questions that bother other people. Understanding leads to correct knowledge. Correct knowledge leads to understanding. What is heresy and what isn't heresy? Example, what are some questions about our final judgment? Do we go to heaven? Do we go to never-burning hell? Maybe there is no hereafter and we just die, like the atheists say. What's the answer? The answer is in this book, in these letters that God has written to you. The Ten Commandments, should we keep them? Have they been done away with? What is the attitude? Should our attitude be towards the Ten Commandments? How about grace, forgiveness, repentance? All the questions that deal with all these subjects can all be answered by reading the letters your future husband has written to you, the Bible. Third point, reading the Bible will help you to avoid many problems. Now, when we say help you to avoid many problems, you could say that reading the Bible blesses you. Because if you avoid problems and don't have them, you're actually blessed. So depending on your point of view, reading the Bible can help you avoid many problems or it can bless you. Let's go to Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. You ever heard the saying, if you want to appear wise, associate with smart people? Because it will rub off on you. Psalms chapter 19, Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. There are some people in this room, I know I'm one of them, who are a lot smarter than they look. And the reason is because we read the Bible. It's not that we have great knowledge or understanding. We just read the Bible and follow what it says. Making wise is simple. The simple person will become wise if he reads the book. Yours truly included. Probably applies to some of you also. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Now think about what it means to enlighten the eyes. It means like, oh, I get it. I see it now. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. But moreover, you are the servant in this scripture here. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. All kinds of problems we don't have to deal with, brethren, because we read the book, the letters from our fiance, and we follow what it says. And we don't get into certain situations that we don't need to be in. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them, there is great reward. Reading the Bible, true or false, will help you to avoid adultery. Yes. I think of all the people that are living together and the children that have been born and the children that are going to be born and the relationships that they have with each other and how all of this is going to lead to problems later on. What does the Bible say about living together? Don't do it. So if you don't live together because you follow the precepts of the Bible, you avoid illegitimate children, you avoid families that are split off and fractured. You avoid all kinds of things. Reading the Bible helps us to avoid rebelliousness, which means there's not so many problems at work and so many problems at home because we're easier to deal with. Helps us to, and this is just a few of them, brethren, helps us to avoid materialism, chasing after money. I have yet to hear anyone on the deathbed say, I should have spent more time at the office. Helps us to avoid laziness, which can lead to poverty, and very, very many other things. Back to my introduction. Judy was really foolish for not reading her husband's letters that he had written to her, her future husband's letters. She missed out on a great opportunity to really get to know the person she was going to marry. Don't make the same mistake. Get to know Christ, your future marriage partner. Read the book. They're his letters to you.